Chapter 57. Does business with the house of Anthony Chuzzlewit and Son, from which one of the partners retires unexpectedly. Change begets change. Nothing propagates so fast. If a man habituated to a narrow circle of cares and pleasures, out of which he seldom travels, step beyond it, though for never so brief a space, his departure from the monotonous scene on which he has been an actor of importance, would seem to be the signal for instant confusion. As if, in the gap he had left, the wedge of change were driven to the head, rending what was a solid mass to fragments. Things cemented and held together by the usages of years, burst asunder in as many weeks. The mine which time has slowly dug beneath familiar objects is sprung in an instant, and what was rock before, becomes but sand and dust. Most men, at one time or other, have proved this in some degree. The extent to which the natural laws of change asserted their supremacy in that limited sphere of action which Martin had deserted, shall be faithfully set down in these pages. What a cold spring it is! ... whimpered old Anthony, drawing near the evening fire. It was a warmer season, sure, when I was young. ... You needn't go scorching your clothes in two holes, whether it was or not, observed the amiable Jonas, raising his eyes from yesterday's newspaper. Broadcloth ain't so cheap as that comes to. ... A good lad. ... cried the father, breathing on his cold hands, and feebly chafing them against each other. A prudent lad. He never delivered himself up to the vanities of dress. No. ... I don't know but I would, though, mind you, if I could do it for nothing, said his son, as he resumed the paper. Ah. ... chuckled the old man. If, indeed. But it's very cold. ... Let the fire be. ... cried Mr. Jonas, stopping his honored parent's hand in the use of the poker. Do you mean to come to want in your old age, that you take to wasting now? ... There's not time for that, Jonas, said the old man. Not time for what? ... bawled his heir. For me to come to want. I wish there was. ... You always were as selfish an old blade as need be, said Jonas in a voice too low for him to hear, and looking at him with an angry frown. You act up to your character. You wouldn't mind coming to want, wouldn't you? I dare say you wouldn't. And your own flesh and blood might come to want too, might they, for anything you cared? Oh, you precious old flint. ... After this dutiful address he took his teacup in his hand, for that meal was in progress, and the father and son and Chuffy were partakers of it. Then, looking steadfastly at his father, and stopping now, and then to carry a spoonful of tea to his lips, he proceeded in the same tone, thus. Want, indeed. You're a nice old man, to be talking of want at this time of day. Beginning to talk of want, are you? Well, I declare. There isn't time? No, I should hope not. But you'd live to be a couple of hundred if you could, and after all be discontented. I know you. ... The old man sighed, and still sat cowering before the fire. Mr. Jonas shook his Britannia metal teaspoon at him, and taking a loftier position, went on to argue the point on high moral grounds. If you're in such a state of mind as that, he grumbled, but in the same subdued key, why don't you make over your property? Buy an annuity cheap, and make your life interesting to yourself, and everybody else, that watches the speculation. But no, that wouldn't suit you. That would be natural conduct to your own son, and you like to be unnatural, and to keep him out of his rights. Why, I should be ashamed of myself, if I was you, and glad to hide my head in the, what you may call it. ... Possibly this general phrase supplied the place of grave, or tomb, or sepulchre, or cemetery, or mausoleum, or other such word which the filial tenderness of Mr. Jonas made him delicate of pronouncing. He pursued the theme no further, for Chuffy, somehow discovering, from his old corner by the fireside, that Anthony was in the attitude of a listener, and that Jonas appeared to be speaking, suddenly cried out, like one inspired. He is your own son, Mr. Chuzzlewit. Your own son, sir. Apostrophe, old Chuffy little suspected, what depth of application these words had, or that, in the bitter satire which they bore, they might have sunk into the old man's very soul, could he have known, what words here hanging on his own son's lips, or what was passing in his thoughts. But the voice diverted the current of Anthony's reflections, and roused him. Yes, yes, Chuffy, Jonas is a chip of the old block. It is a very old block now, Chuffy, apostrophe said the old man, with a strange look of discomposure. Precious old, apostrophe assented Jonas. No, 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 apostrophe said Chuffy. No, Mr. Chuzzlewit. Not old at all, sir. Apostrophe, oh. He's worse than ever, you know. Apostrophe cried Jonas, quite disgusted. Upon my soul, father, he's getting too bad. Hold your tongue, will you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he says you're wrong. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Anthony to the old clerk. Tut, tut. Apostrophe, apostrophe was Chuffy's answer. I know better. I say he's wrong. I say he's wrong. He's a boy. That's what he is. So are you, Mr. Chuzzle, with a kind of boy. Ha, ha, ha. You're quite a boy to many I have known. You're a boy to me. You're a boy to hundreds of us. Don't mind him. Apostrophe, with which extraordinary speech, for in the case of Chuffy this was a burst of eloquence without a parallel, the poor old shadow drew through his palsied arm his master's hand, and held it there, with his own folded upon it, as if he would defend him. I grow deafer every day, Chuff, apostrophe said Anthony, with as much softness of manner, or, to describe it more correctly, with as little hardness as he was capable of expressing. No, no, apostrophe cried Chuffy. No, you don't. What if you did? I've been deaf this 20 year. Apostrophe, I grow blinder too, apostrophe said the old man, shaking his head. That's a good sign. Apostrophe, apostrophe cried Chuffy. Ha! Ha! The best sign in the world. You saw too well before. Apostrophe, he patted Anthony upon the hand as one might comfort a child, and drawing the old man's arm still further through his own, shook his trembling fingers towards the spot where Jonas sat, as though he would wave him off. But, Anthony remaining quite still and silent, he relaxed his hold by slow degrees, and lapsed into his usual niche in the corner, merely putting forth his hand at intervals, and touching his old employer gently on the coat, as with the design of assuring himself that he was yet beside him. Mr. Jonas was so very much amazed by these proceedings, that he could do nothing but stare at the two old men, until Chuffy had fallen into his usual state, and Anthony had sunk into a doze, when he gave some vent to his emotions, by going close up to the former personage, and making as though he would, in vulgar parlance, punch his head. Apostrophe, they've been carrying on this game, apostrophe thought Jonas in a brown study, for the last 2 or 3 weeks. I never saw my father take so much notice of him as he has in that time. What? Your legacy hunting, are you, Mr. Chuff? Eh? Apostrophe, but Chuffy was as little conscious of the thought as of the bodily advance of Mr. Jonas's clenched fist, which hovered fondly about his ear. When he had scowled at him to his heart's content, Jonas took the candle from the table, and walking into the glass office, produced a bunch of keys from his pocket. With one of these he opened a secret drawer in the desk, peeping stealthily out, as he did so, to be certain that the two old men were still before the fire. All as right as ever, apostrophe said Jonas, propping the lid of the desk open with his forehead, and unfolding a paper. Here's the will, Mr. Chuff. £30 a year for your maintenance, old boy, and all the rest to his only son, Jonas. You needn't trouble yourself to be too affectionate. You won't get anything by it. What's that? apostrophe apostrophe, it was startling, certainly. A face on the other side of the glass partition looking curiously in, and not at him, but at the paper in his hand. For the eyes were attentively cast down upon the writing, and were swiftly raised when he cried out. Then they met his own, and were as the eyes of Mr. Pecksniff. Suffering the lid of the desk to fall with a loud noise, but not forgetting even then to lock it, Jonas, pale and breathless, gazed upon this phantom. It moved, opened the door, and walked in. "What's the matter?" apostrophe apostrophe cried Jonas, falling back. "Who is it? Where do you come from? What do you want?" Apostrophe, matter. Apostrophe apostrophe cried the voice of Mr. Pecksniff, as Pecksniff in the flesh smiled amiably upon him. "The matter, Mr. Jonas. Apostrophe, what are you prying and peering about here for?" Apostrophe apostrophe said Jonas, angrily. "What do you mean by coming up to town in this way, and taking one unawares? It's precious odd a man can't read the newspaper in his own office without being startled out of his wits by people coming in without notice. Why didn't you knock at the door?" Apostrophe apostrophe, "So I did, Mr. Jonas," apostrophe answered Pecksniff, "but no one heard me. I was curious," apostrophe he added in his gentle way as he laid his hand upon the young man's shoulder, "to find out what part of the newspaper interested you so much. But the glass was too dim and dirty." Apostrophe, Jonas glanced in haste at the partition. Well, it wasn't very clean. So far he spoke the truth. Was it poetry now? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mr. Pecksniff, shaking the forefinger of his right hand with an air of cheerful banter. Or was it politics? Or was it the price of stock? The main chance, Mr. Jonas, the main chance, I suspect. Apostrophe, you ain't far from the truth, apostrophe answered Jonas, recovering himself and snuffing the candle. But how the deuce do you come to be in London again? Ecod! It's enough to make a man stare, to see a fellow looking at him all of a sudden, who he thought was 60 or 70 mile away. Apostrophe, so it is, apostrophe said Mr. Pecksniff. No doubt of it, my dear Mr. Jonas. For while the human mind is constituted as it is, apostrophe, oh, bother the human mind, apostrophe interrupted Jonas with impatience, what have you come up for? Apostrophe, apostrophe, a little matter of business, apostrophe said Mr. Pecksniff, which has arisen quite unexpectedly. Apostrophe, oh, apostrophe, apostrophe cried Jonas, is that all? Well, here's father in the next room. Hello, father, here's Pecksniff. He gets more addle-pated every day he lives, I do believe, apostrophe muttered Jonas, shaking his honored parent roundly. Don't I tell you Pecksniff's here, stupid head? Apostrophe apostrophe, the combined effects of the shaking and this loving remonstrance soon awoke the old man, who gave Mr. Pecksniff a chuckling welcome which was attributable in part to his being glad to see that gentleman, and in part to his unfading delight in the recollection of having called him a hypocrite. As Mr. Pecksniff had not yet taken tea, indeed he had, but an hour before, arrived in London, the remains of the late collation, with a rasher of bacon, were served up for his entertainment, and as Mr. Jonas had a business appointment in the next street, he stepped out to keep it, promising to return before Mr. Pecksniff could finish his repast. And now, my good sir, apostrophe said Mr. Pecksniff to Anthony, now that we are alone, pray tell me what I can do for you. I say alone, because I believe that our dear friend Mr. Chuffy is, metaphysically speaking, a, shall I say, a dummy? Apostrophe apostrophe asked Mr. Pecksniff with his sweetest smile, and his head very much on one side. He neither hears us, apostrophe replied Anthony, nor sees us. Apostrophe, why then, apostrophe said Mr. Pecksniff, I will be bold to say, with the utmost sympathy for his afflictions, and the greatest admiration of those excellent qualities which do equal honor to his head, and to his heart, that he is what is playfully termed a dummy. you were going to observe, my dear sir? Apostrophe apostrophe, I was not going to make any observation, that I know of, apostrophe replied the old man. I was, apostrophe said Mr. Pecksniff, mildly. Oh, you were? What was it? Apostrophe, that I never, apostrophe said Mr. Pecksniff, previously rising to see that the door was shut, and arranging his chair when he came back, so that it could not be opened in the least without his immediately becoming aware of the circumstance, that I never in my life was so astonished as by the receipt of your letter yesterday. That you should do me the honor to wish to take counsel with me on any matter amazed me, but that you should desire to do so, to the exclusion even of Mr. Jonas, showed an amount of confidence in one to whom you had done a verbal injury, merely a verbal injury, you were anxious to repair, which gratified, which moved, which overcame me. Apostrophe, he was always a glib speaker, but he delivered this short address very glibly, having been at some pains to compose it outside the coach. Although he paused for a reply, and truly said that he was there at Anthony's request, the old man sat gazing at him in profound silence, and with a perfectly blank face. Nor did he seem to have the least desire or impulse to pursue the conversation, though Mr. Pecksniff looked towards the door, and pulled out his watch, and gave him many other hints that their time was short, and Jonas, if he kept his word, would soon return. But the strangest incident in all this strange behavior was that of a sudden, in a moment, so swiftly that it was impossible to trace how, or to observe any process of change, his features fell into their old expression, and he cried, striking his hand passionately upon the table, as if no interval at all had taken place. Will you hold your tongue, sir, and let me speak? Apostrophe apostrophe, Mr. Pecksniff deferred to him with a submissive bow, and said within himself, I knew his hand was changed, and that his writing staggered. I said so yesterday. Ahem. Dear me. Apostrophe, Jonas is sweet upon your daughter, Pecksniff, apostrophe said the old man, in his usual tone. We spoke of that, if you remember, sir, at Mrs. Todger's, apostrophe replied the courteous architect. You needn't speak so loud, apostrophe retorted Anthony. I'm not so deaf as... Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.